Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church. What a thrill to be back on the radio again with you here today. And you're going to hear a sermon here now today, Wednesday and Thursday, that I just preached on last Sunday morning. And we're in a series on Moses. And our sermon today is entitled Moses and the Burning Bush. This is a five-week series. This is the third week. Now, if you'd like to hear the others, you can go to WGODradio.com, or you can go to Island Community Church. That's the sponsor of this radio program. It's brought to you by the good people at Island Community Church. They're footing the bill for this, and I invite you to go check out their website, islandcommunitychurch.net. There's a link on there that says, prior broadcasts, and they're all lined up right there on the main page when you click on there. And you'll be able to hear the first two from this series. I don't recall the names of them, but there's five altogether. This is week three, Moses and the Burning Bush. Next week, we're going to look at Moses and the 10 plagues of Egypt. That's this Sunday morning. I invite you to come by. Maybe you'd like to come by and worship and hear that sermon in person. You can do that by going to, matter of fact, you can come by tonight if it's Wednesday. I say if because I'm going to let this opening play for Thursday as well. But if it's Wednesday, we're having a service here tonight, 6 o'clock, the place, 1,000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. If you can't make it, watch us on Facebook. That'll be live at 6 o'clock. If you're unable to come or if you're too far away, you can watch the service live on Facebook on Island Community Church's Facebook page. But I invite you to come by in person sometime, maybe tonight, maybe on Sunday. We'd love to see you. Okay, again, this is playing Wednesday and Thursday. This is Moses and the Burning Bush.
Amen, that's the right answer. When the Apostle Paul read things like this, he said, what shall we say? You see, at the realization and understanding that God was on his side, there was no stopping the man from walking into whatever lion's den that stinking old devil had for him. The realization that God is on your side is all you ever need. No matter who you are in here today, God is for you if you've called on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. Call on the name of the Lord and walk with him. Agree with those things I told you again. By golly, me read them again. Walk with God, not with the world. Agree with God about abortion, marriage, and salvation in Christ alone. There's probably more I could add to that too. But if you're against those things, that you're the hostile enemy of God, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked me that. That's James chapter 4, verse 4, where God calls you an adulterer. Don't you know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So that's not me calling you that. I want to see you guys prosper and believe what God says in his word. All right, the fourth thing is, it says God acknowledged. He acknowledged them. And likewise, he acknowledges you. I love that. He acknowledges you. That's like, say you're up in heaven, and then all of a sudden, someone spoke your name. And God heard it and said, yeah, I know him, and I know her. He acknowledges you. Like it happens to you all the time. Someone says, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know them. Jesus said, and if you doubt me, don't doubt me. I'm telling you what the word says. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. God acknowledges you. He knows who you are. So it's not just them, it's you too. All right, let's move on. Chapter 3. What time does the Super Bowl start today? I think we'll be all right. Preach till 2. Lunch till 4. Gatorade shower after that, right, Robin? Oh.
We are prepared.
Chapter 3. Let's look at the burning bush. Finally, an hour into my sermon, I'm going to get to where we're going and spend 5 minutes here. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. I keep thinking of Jethro Bodine. You know, I need a new mind. Jethro. Or Leroy Jethro. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Then Moses said, I know. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why this bush does not burn. So, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses! Moses! And he said, here I am. Notice that Moses made 3 decisions here. Number 1, to stop. Number 2, to turn aside. And number 3, to look and see what it was. So first, okay, that's the second. Notice how God waits for Moses to move. See that? God waited for Moses. He'd been there all along. But he waited for him to move. If I could give some personal application here, it would be this. Is there a burning bush somewhere in your life? Is there a burning bush somewhere in your life? The burning bush is the presence of God. And God waits for you to stop what you're doing and to turn back and look. He's waiting on you to stop. He's waiting on you to turn. He's waiting on you to look. Like, wait a minute, stop for a minute. God's in this ministry over here that he wants me to get involved in. He's been here the whole time. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Quit running for 168 hours. Stop. And go back to where you saw God before. Go back to where you saw him. Stop. Turn. Look. He's been there all along. He's waiting on you to turn back. Is God working in your life in a particular place, or better yet, does he want to work in a particular place, but he's waiting on you to turn aside? What's he calling you to do? Turn aside and look. Whatever it is in your life. Now, perhaps these instances, and I'm telling you, they are. Moses waited 40 years for this. This is not an everyday occurrence. This could be a once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime thing. It doesn't happen all the time. This reminds me of that song I wanted to sing this morning. Boy, I could be singing an opera up here this morning. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You guys ever hear that? I'm not going to start singing that. But when the presence of the Lord is with you, more often than not, He's going to lead you or call you into doing something to serve Him. Now, Jacob had a vision in Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder. I like to call it Jacob's escalator. Paul caught a vision on the road to Damascus. My advice to you is go wherever the burning bush is, or go to where the presence is and listen for His voice. Go back in your life to where the presence of God was. He's waiting for you. You have to take the step. He can't do it. He can't do it for you. You've got to do it. Now, here with Moses, once God sees that Moses takes the first step, let me say that again. Once God sees that Moses took the first step, then God speaks to Moses. Or we could say, once he see that Moses took the initiative, then God spoke to Moses, called him by name. Then he said, verse 5, do not draw near this place. In other words, don't you come near me, he said to Moses. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. Smart move, Moses. And you and I would too be afraid to look upon God. Isaiah said, woe is me when he saw God. He said, I'm ruined. I've seen God. My eyes have seen the King, he said, the Lord of hosts. The Apostle John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Remember that next time you see a new book or hear about a book on the New York Times bestseller list of how so-and-so puffin' stuff over here went up to heaven, and for 1995, you could find out all the fun times he had up in heaven. The main point of what I'm trying to say to you is God is holy. God is holy. Now, if you would please turn to the very next book of your Bible, Leviticus, the third book in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 10. And we might literally miss kickoff here. Now, starting here, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, these two sons of Moses' brother Aaron served the Lord in the sanctuary. Now, let's call Aaron, for this argument's sake, let's call Moses' brother Aaron, let's call him the senior pastor. All right, Darren? Aaron is the senior pastor of First Baptist of where? Middle of nowhere. That's funny. I think I pastored there for 18 years. The first senior pastor of nowhere. So, these two sons have decided they're going to have their own worship service because they're tired of that old fuddy-dud music at 9 o'clock. So they're going to have their own service, you see. That's the backdrop. Aaron is the senior pastor. He's got two kids over here. They're tired of doing it that way. Now they're going to have some Marshall amps and some electric guitars in the worship service. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Then, no, I'm joking when I say that. God won't send you to hell for having an electric guitar or using it in a church service. But let's see what he does do. Now, Nadab, everyone with me, we're in Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, chapter 10, verse 1. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, They each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense in it, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. A censer is one of those things we used to use when I went to Episcopal church. We use it on Easter and Christmas, the thing on the chains, and they put fire in it and put incense in it, and they'd swing it and walk up and down the aisles. Remember, this incense was holy. You didn't dare do what these guys did. So Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, they each took his censer and they put fire in it and they put incense on it and they offered. Now some translations say profane. Some say strange. I like unauthorized best. They put unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So Moses said to Aaron, take off your shoes. Moses said, this, quote, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as what? Holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. Unquote. Notice the two I musts there. I must be regarded by you people as holy. And number two, I must be glorified. God is saying, when you are in my presence, Smedley, you take your shoes off. You don't be flippant in your approach to God. Look what happened to these guys. So Moses really said to him, I warned you about this, Pastor Aaron. Hey, that rhymes with Darren. I warned you, Pastor Aaron. Don't do this. Then the text says, so Aaron held his peace. That is, he didn't squawk about two smoking kids on the ground. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, Aaron's uncle. So they call up Aaron's uncle and they get his two kids to come and clean up this mess. So they called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, Aaron's uncle, and they said to him, come near, carry your brothers out from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them, look what it says, they carried them by their tunics out of the camp. And Moses had said, can you picture this? So they grabbed these guys by their hoodies, with the heels of their feet, leave out lying in the sand. And these guys are smoking corpses. What a scene. Because they didn't like the music at the 9 o'clock service. So they're going to have their own music. We're going to worship God our way. And God said, oh, no, you're not, friend. You're going to worship my way or not at all. And this is why he told him to take his shoes off. He's not done. Verse 6, Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people. That is, don't you cry for what happened. If you cry over what I did to these guys, you're next. And then you guys are going to be smoking, and then they're going to haul you out of here next. Wow. Not the God we're used to hearing, huh? Remember what he said. By everyone who approaches me, I must be regarded as holy. just send you down to your knees and worship the King because he is holy. Moses said, don't get upset about it. And he said, let everyone else mourn. He said, let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. That's verse 6. So not only that, don't get upset about it. Let everyone else get upset about it, but you can't get upset. So again, these are some of the reasons why we read, see, and hear, take off your shoes. You see, shoes were made out of leather, that is, animal skins. The place where you stand is holy, that is, take off the dead animals. Take the dead animals off your feet before you approach God. God cannot be near something that's dead. He's too holy. And he's still holy today. He's still holy. He still must be regarded the same way. This is why I have such a problem with flippant church services and the flippant partaking of Holy Communion, mostly out of fear. Not for me, fear for them, fear for you. Our last text here regarding the holiness of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27. Now, we're seeing a pattern here as we read. This next one, we saw Moses warned to take his shoes off. We saw Aaron's sons killed for how they approached God because they were flippant in their approach. There's a story you can read in the Bible about how someone named Uzzah, they were trying to move the Ark of the Covenant from one city to the next. And there's a prescribed way. That was an act of worship. You had to move it on poles. And you had to have priests carry it. But they said, you know what? We're going to move this our way. And surely God won't mind. We're bringing the Ark back. So they put it on a cart. It's being pulled by an ox. The ox slips. The guy goes, I know, I'm going to stop this beautiful ark from falling. Reaches out his hand, touches the cart end. Same as Aaron's sons. Out comes the fire from God. And here's another smoking corpse down here on the ground. And I love what the Bible says then. It says, then David feared the Lord on that day. Sometimes I think that's what's missing a little bit from here today. You know that? If people feared the Lord a little bit today, Jim, you wouldn't see some of this stuff that's going on out here today. You wouldn't see guys in miniskirts laughing and dressing and dancing in churches. You wouldn't see this kind of stuff that you see today if people only feared God anymore. Last text. Then it's linguine time. This shows you, this is why I preside over communion in this church the way that I do. Maybe you say, why does he do it? Why is he over here praying? Why does he want everyone to? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. It says, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now that's not a charge that you want on your account. But let a man examine himself. That's what we do. We take 5, 6, 7, however long it takes, half an hour if need be, to get your heart right with God before you take communion, because God is holy and there's more to communion than meets the eye. That's why I gave Dora some to give to her husband. That's why I gave Lila some to take home and give to her husband. Because the healing power of God, I believe, is present as well. For those same reasons. Let a man examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep, which is a euphemism for death. So with that in mind, right here is a great place to stop. Let's consider the holiness of God. Remember, God did not instruct Moses to take his shoes off like your mother used to tell you as a kid to take yours off. Or for the same reasons that your grandmother had plastic wrap covering her sofa. Anyone here have plastic wrap on their sofa? You do? That's because you got a 400-pound dog. Oh, your parents, right? But the reason that God demands it is just like Moses told his brother. By those who approach me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So, if you take that with you today, church, then I've done my job today as Pastor Paul. Okay? That those of us who approach God must regard him as holy. And everyone gets that. And I've got peace with that. That's my message here today. That's what God wants me to share with you today. Everyone who comes near to him must regard him as holy. Since the creation of time, we read what's being said up in heaven. God's got four bodyguards that surround him up in heaven. You know what they do all day long? All day and all night. They say one thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. They say, Hagios, Hagios, Hagios. Holy, holy, holy. For those of you that think, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what they're doing right now. That's what they do around the clock. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us for the times that we have been flippant in our approach to you. Thank you that you're long-suffering. Thank you above all, first and foremost, for your son, Jesus Christ, who took my penalty on the cross. And that's why we don't see what we see anymore from what happened before, is because you laid all of our penalty on your son. Makes us want to shout. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in our place, for taking our penalty upon yourself, so that you might redeem us back to God. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.